near the Enclave. Its beauty is reason enough for ships to visit, and no one thinks anything of the occasional traffic coming in and out.
Huh. Not much here, I said, looking around at the empty cavern.
It's for loading and unloading cargo only. We keep it powered off during downtime to prevent it being scanned. And we patrol the perimeter during operations to make sure no one can do a flyby and see it. Should you need rest and relaxation or refueling, all those facilities await at the spaceport. This was designed for discretion.
I gave a nod of appreciation. Yeah, I think this will work for us. All right, we can go back and start thinking about doing some business.
Excellent. I will inform Sunta. May I tell her you will join her for breakfast in the morning?
Sure. Linit referred to Tanich Sunta, one of the Rhodians I'd met earlier. I believe she introduced herself as a sales executive for Uthiel Outfitters. As we walked back to the lift and Linit closed the cavern wall with another push of the button, she said,
I'll take you to your room now in Tupil. Do you have all you require?
Almost. Just need a power feed for my droid and maybe some dinner.
Of course. And your droid can download our inventory and pricing for you to peruse at your leisure.
My room in the secret complex of Tupil proved to be my favorite place so far on Rhodia, for it had been scrubbed of smells as much as possible, rather than doused with a surplus of perfumes. R2 displayed the weapons and armor inventory after he downloaded it, and I frowned at the prices. I didn't precisely know the state of Alliance funding, but I wasn't sure we'd be able to afford any large orders. War was expensive, and not just in lives lost. I'd make a point of testing out the weapons tomorrow to make sure they deserved such a steep price. I left R2 in the room when it was time to meet with Sunta for breakfast. Linit knocked softly on my door and led me upstairs to a special chamber of the Uthiel Outfitters complex. It was a solarium that also functioned as a cafe, though there weren't any families dining there. It appeared reserved for an exclusive clientele. Richly dressed Rhodians and an assortment of other species held quiet conversations, barely audible against the notes of a Bith symphony floating above them via hidden speakers. Sunlight filtered through a huge stained-glass window that reached from floor to ceiling, bathing all the diners in colored light. White porcelain cups and saucers rested in front of us on a small round bistro table. Each cup tinted a different hue thanks to the windows. I was wearing white also, but Sunta had dressed herself in an ensemble of dark greens, highlighted with glints of silver thread. Diners at other tables kept their voices low, their conversations amounting to no more than a soft hum over the Bith music. And I wondered if maybe that incredible window was responsible for creating the strange atmosphere of reverence. The other visitors sitting with Rhodians were no doubt as interested in Chekku weapons as the Alliance was. And it struck me as weird for everyone to be negotiating the purchase of deadly weapons in such a serene setting. This kind of commerce normally involved a certain seediness that the Rhodians were deliberately refusing to provide. After our server departed with our orders, and Sunta inquired politely about my sleep, I expected her to ask if I had had the opportunity to review their catalog and suggest a discounted selection or something of that nature. She surprised me.
"Forgive me if I'm intruding, friend Skywalker," she said. "But I noticed something unusual as you sat down. A flash only, obviously not meant to be seen, but so interesting that I cannot help but ask, at risk of giving offense. Are you perhaps carrying a lightsaber?"
I froze. My lightsaber was indeed concealed beneath my outer tunic, but clearly I had not taken enough care in dressing this morning to make sure it stayed hidden. I didn't like to leave it lying around to be discovered when I was away, and so kept it on my person at all times. Though it wasn't a strictly prohibited weapon, its association with the Jedi would tend to make one guilty by association in the eyes of the Empire. The Chekku's willingness to conduct some business on the side with the Rebellion might not extend to consorting with a sympathizer of the Jedi. We were stepping lightly on quicksand here. That's an interesting question, I replied carefully. Let us suppose, purely for argument's sake, that I am. Would you be offended or scandalized, or perhaps feel bound to report me to Imperial authorities? Far from it, far from it, she assured me. I would have to confess that my views on the Jedi do not align with the official Imperial view. Is that so? What are your views, then? I can hardly give them words. I suppose I harbor doubts about the Empire's version of recent events. The victor's view of history rarely matches that of the vanquished, after all. So you don't believe that the Jedi betrayed the Emperor? I believe they had a serious disagreement with him, no doubt. And I find it easy to believe that he personally felt betrayed. His public behavior and rhetoric paint him to be the sort of man who views any disagreement as a betrayal. But I do not feel the Jedi were in the habit of betraying others. I believe they were more likely to keep oaths than break them. Of course, I have no proof of any of this.